you've learned, and I hope you're heeding what we've seen. And there have been some wonderful truths in this study, and truths we all need. We need to apply, not just know, but put into practice. And tonight is probably the capstone, if you will, the glue, the thing that binds it all together in this matter of the Holy Spirit and us. In Romans chapter 12, again, two very familiar verses, 1 and 2, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that's saved people, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, once again, we're dealing with this subject of the Holy Spirit. Lord, this is of such importance in our daily Christian life. We know this is the key to living victoriously for you. This is the key to being the Christians you want us to be, living how you want us to live, doing what you want us to do. And Father, I pray that we would see it tonight, we would understand it, and we would make this the practice of our life, that we would live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Speak to us tonight by your Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're talking about the Spirit-filled life. The Spirit-filled life. I don't know how many messages I've preached on being filled with the Holy Spirit. It is a common topic, so to speak, because the Bible is so clear on the need. And yet, sadly, we see so many Christians who, it's obvious or not, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is a command. It's not a suggestion. Ephesians 5, verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Again, not a suggestion, not something good to do, or maybe for the preacher or missionary, or no. For every one of us. And so we're going to talk about the Spirit-filled life. You know, something very interesting about this is there's a battle that rages in this matter because our human nature, the human side of us, has this innate, born into us desire to control our own lives. And the fact is this, it goes against our natural man to have someone or somebody else be in control of our lives. Say amen. Yeah, we don't like other people to be in control of our lives. And, you know, here in America, we've really been blessed because we have such freedom to control our lives. But the natural man does not like that. If you've ever noticed little toddlers, they don't want you telling them no. They don't want you telling them you can't touch that or have that. See, that's born into us. We need to understand that. You know, there was an article in the 2010 PC World. I don't read that. Somebody shared that. And it talked about how computer hackers could control the computerized systems in automobiles from a remote location. That's a little scary, isn't it? They can disable the brakes on a car. They can blast hot air through the vents. They can blast music through the radio. They could even shut down the engine and lock the passengers inside. All of it while you're behind the wheel. Now, By the way, if you're wondering where that was, see me afterwards. I'll give you the source. Now, there's something very unnerving to me about that. And something very unnatural about a computer in our car controlling our driving. But it's there. But tonight I want to talk to you about not a computer in our car controlling our driving. I want to talk to you about one, if you will, who really wants complete control of our lives. And that's the Holy Spirit of God. And let me share this with you. Some of you would understand this and would agree with this very heartily. Allowing the Holy Spirit to control our lives is one of the best decisions we will ever make. But I believe a lot of believers are afraid to do that. Well, you know, if I let him control my life, maybe he's going to have me tithing. Or maybe he's going to have me going soul winning. Or maybe he's going to have me change things I do or how I talk. Yeah, that's the point. Let him control. Most of us know D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody was just starting into the ministry. And he heard a preacher say this. This preacher said, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully surrendered to him." Moody heard that. And that night, God got a hold of Moody's heart. And he said, "By God's grace, I am going to be that man. The man who would be fully surrendered to the Lord." And it's said that before he died, D.L. Moody shook two continents for God. And over 1 million people came to Christ under his preaching and his ministry. See, that's the kind of power God has. Now, I'm not saying God wants you to win 1 million people to Christ. But God wants control of your life. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, so he can do with you what he wants to do. Would you have the heart that Moody had? Would you be willing to give the Holy Spirit absolute control of your life? Well, I really have done that. I hope you have. But you see, I find that so many have not. In the verses we've read, the fact is this. The Holy Spirit really deserves to have full and absolute control of us. You say, where do you get that? Well, we're His vessel and His ambassador, if you will. And it is really reasonable, Paul says, that you would surrender complete control of your daily life to His power. That's the reasonable thing to do, Paul says there in Romans 12:1. Which is your reasonable service. You see, when you allow the Holy Spirit to control your life, it's going to bring a transformation and a power into your life that you would otherwise never know. And you don't need to fear giving the Holy Spirit control of your life, because He's going to lead you into a life that's abundant and full, a life beyond your capacity and your power. I don't know, I feel like you're looking at me like a calf looks at a new gate. But I believe every person in this room knows what I'm saying. It's true. But we don't need to just know. We need to practice. And allow the Holy Spirit to have that leadership. Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." You want the abundant Christian life? It comes when you yield yourself to the control of the Holy Spirit. Now, tonight we're going to talk about how to have this abundant life that Jesus talks about. We're going to talk about how to fully immerse ourselves in a daily, spirit-led, spirit-filled lifestyle. And I hope it will bring you to that place where you say, I want the Holy Spirit to control my life. Living a spirit-filled life is about learning how to practice His presence moment by moment. It's a daily discipline. It's a daily choice. We must choose every day not to neglect Him. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this, "The greatest crime of sinners is to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And the greatest fault of saints is to neglect the Holy Ghost." When we see these truths tonight, you need to ask yourself the question, well, where am I going to be? Am I going to neglect Him? There's a vast difference between knowing about the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit and experiencing it. Many are ignorant of Him. Most neglect Him. What are you going to do? Well, let's talk about this. The Spirit-filled life. The hows. First of all, if you're going to have a Spirit-filled life, you've got to be filled with the Spirit. And we gave you Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Look up here for a minute. We understand that when we are filled with the Spirit, it's not that He has any more of us. When you got saved, you got all of the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. He is a person. You can't get part of a person. The key is, how much of you is He going to have? Somebody said, a good illustration is this, and one preacher used this. He took an empty glass. Imagine this glass is empty. The only thing in it is it's full of air. You got that? And I challenged you and I said, how do I get all the air out of that glass? If I was to take a pitcher of water and fill the cup with water, all the air is out of the glass. See, you need to empty yourself of you and allow Him to fill you. He needs to replace you in your life so that you can be filled with the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit. You know, giving yourself to the control of the Holy Spirit is really dying to you. Remember Paul said, I die daily? Oh, we know he didn't go in a coffin every day and you know, he didn't croak every day. No. What was he saying? Paul died to Paul every day so he could live for Christ every day. And friend, you can't live for Christ until you die to you. Did you get that? Paul says over in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Time out. Does that mean Paul went to a cross and got nailed there and died? No. But he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's exactly what Paul is saying. Hey, I died to me, and the Holy Spirit now has complete control of my life. It's not about me, it's about Him. Romans 6 and verses 12 and 13. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. In verse 16, that same chapter, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? These passages teach us that we must constantly choose, you getting this? Choose to yield to the Holy Spirit. Do we understand what yielding is? The definition of yield is to give way to. Now, I'm convinced there are a lot of people who have no idea what that word yield means, because when I see somebody come up on a ramp that says yield, I find very few people who know you're supposed to give way to. But that's what it means. And over again, we're told to yield to God, to yield to the Holy Spirit. Give way to Him. Let Him have the right of way. Let Him lead, guide, and direct in your life. That's what we're supposed to do. And you know, in Galatians, Paul tells us that we're to walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. And here's where that brings us. We're going to live every day. You listen? We're going to live every day either serving our flesh or in the control of the Holy Spirit. Did you get that? Now, I doubt that any of us in this room get up in the morning and say, today I'm living for my flesh. Any of you do that? I hope not. We chuckle, but how many of us get up in the morning and say, Lord, today I want to walk in the Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to lead my life today. You say, well, I don't do that. Well, if you don't, I'm not trying to be critical, but if you don't, then you're going to walk in the flesh. You don't decide to walk in the flesh, but friend, that's the way we walk. If we don't make a conscious decision, I'm going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, it's not going to happen by accident. It's what we must choose. It's one or the other. And we don't choose the Holy Spirit, we are, in essence, choosing flesh. It's the way it is. I said most of us don't willfully choose to walk in the flesh, but we arrive there by default because we don't make that decision. See, being filled with the Spirit is not mystical, it's not complicated. It's a matter of choice. A matter of choice. Begin every day consciously, verbally, yielding to the Holy Spirit of God, asking Him to fill us, asking Him to control us. Somebody gave a model, maybe prayer, that would go something like this. If you really, really desire to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, maybe something like this. Holy Spirit of God, thank you for being my comforter and guide today. As best I know how, I yield myself to you right now. I ask you to fill me, control me, lead me, guide me. I need you today. I choose to be the servant of righteousness. I choose to follow your call. I choose to live in the Spirit, to be spiritually minded. I ask you to have complete control of my life as I serve you today. Choosing to daily acknowledge and surrender to the Holy Spirit helps us to grow in developing the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, Paul said, which was also in Christ Jesus. How am I going to have the mind of Christ? By being filled with the Spirit. You know, every day, when we yield to the Holy Spirit, we're going to grow and mature in Christ. We're going to be transformed. But also remember this, that transformation isn't immediate, so to speak. It's a growing process. You get that? And as we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to see Him in the control of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see ourselves growing and growing. And sometimes you might think, well, I don't think I'm growing too much spiritually, until we look back. Remember when you were kids and you were growing? Remember how you used to stand by the door? How many of you did that? And then you come back a couple months later, And you look and you say, hoping that it was higher. I remember our Angela used to do that. You know, Angela's 5 foot nothing. And she used to do that. She put the pencil mark there. She'd come back 6 months later, pencil mark still be there. And she gets so disappointed. But see, when we're believers, we're looking to see that growth. But it's, you know, just like as a kid, we didn't come back 6 months later and have a foot growth. We'd see a little bit. And a little bit. And I've been in places where the doorways, you could walk to the doorway and you'd see a line and a line and a line and a line and a line. Little growth, little growth, little growth. See, and that's how we grow as a believer. But it's a matter of choice. You're not going to walk in the Spirit till you decide, I want to be a Spirit-filled Christian. And ask Him every day. Yield yourself every day. And then, it's a decision of faith. A decision of faith. See, when you make that decision in the morning, you're not going to have electrical impulses all through your body. You're probably not going to see a bright light. No, it's nothing like that. It's not a feeling. It's a faith decision. You come to the Lord, you ask for it, you yield, and you accept it by faith. That God today is going to help me to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize, you know, a lot of people don't understand you need to seek the filling of the Holy Spirit. To want it. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, Jesus said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You know, a day lived in the filling of the Holy Spirit is going to be a whole different day than you're probably accustomed to. When you set out in the morning, you might think, well, you know, I asked God to help me to walk in the Spirit. I want to walk in the Holy Spirit today. As the day goes on, you don't see any bright lights and things, you know. But at the end of the day, you look back and you think, boy, He was with me all day. He helped me handle this. He helped me to keep control of my temper. He helped me to say the right thing. He helped me to... It's a decision of faith. I've asked and my Father will not deny me. Hello? And then it's a repeated process. See, you don't get filled with the Spirit once in your life and it stays that way the rest of your life. It's a daily thing, and by the way, it's a moment-by-moment thing. See, you can be Holy Spirit-filled and in an instant give yourself over to the flesh. And we've probably all done it. I pray every day for the leadership and the filling of the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit would control my life. But, you know, every once in a while, we'll come to a place and we'll do something or say something, and then we'll say to ourselves, that was in the flesh. You know what that means? It means I wasn't yielded to the Holy Spirit. So now what do? Man, I've gone half my day and I said something or did something that just took me out of that realm of being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Well, I confess my sin, and I say, now, Holy Spirit, have control. I want to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Have your control me and get back to it. Repeat the process. We talked about grieving the Holy Spirit. We talked about quenching the Holy Spirit. And we talked about we need to avoid doing that and seek forgiveness. Remember when David came to the Lord in Psalm 51? And he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And see, we need to come to that place. And we should be quick in our response to sin. Hey, when you understand, hey, I got in the flesh. Get back in the Spirit. F.B. Meyer said something about the filling of the Spirit. He said, do not pray for more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity and is not in pieces. Every child of God has all of Him. but does He have all of us? Filling of the Spirit is a constant pursuit of the Christian life. Living in a perpetual state of total surrender and submission, it's a daily discipline. And that's one of our problems. It's a daily discipline. That's why we need to get up in the morning and spend some time with God. Why? It's a daily discipline that helps us to get our minds focused and right spiritually and get filled with the Spirit and give control of the Spirit before we ever set out on our day. You know, I advise people all the time, have a time with the Lord before you start your day. See, the other alternative is to, okay, I'm going to run through my day. And then when I get to the end of the day, I'm going to come to the Lord. Then I have to confess everything I did wrong. Because I wasn't being controlled by the Spirit. Because I didn't spend my time with Him and get my mind in a spiritual realm. Lord, I give all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and accept that Thy will for my life will be my will. I give myself, my life, my all utterly to Thee, to be Thine forever. Fill me and seal me with Thy Holy Spirit. Use me as Thou wilt. Send me where Thou wilt. Work out Thy whole will in my life at any cost, now and forever. That was the prayer of missionary Betty Scott Stamm, 1906 to 1934, just 28 years old. She was a missionary to China, martyred with her husband by the communist Chinese soldiers. We need to be filled with the Spirit if we're going to have a Spirit-filled life. And then we need to walk in the Spirit. We said it's a daily decision. And we have to develop this habit, if you will. I know we don't like that word habit, but there are some good habits. Nod your head. There are some good habits, and this is a habit we need to have in our life. We talked about this daily decision. I'm going to be filled with the Spirit. And when we do that, then we're going to walk in the Spirit. It's that natural result of being filled with the Spirit. You know, that word walk implies to march in step with someone, to fall into rank, to conform to the step. And oftentimes the Bible talks about the walk as our daily lifestyle. And that's what Galatians 5:16 is talking about. Then I say then, walk in the Spirit. What's he talking about? Your daily life to be in the Spirit, Spirit-led. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, you can only do one or the other. You with me? Here's where a lot of Christians are. They think, well, I'm riding the middle road. There is no middle road. You either is or you ain't. You're either Spirit-filled or flesh-filled. No middle ground. He says in Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And that boils down to our everyday choices. When your day unfolds and you have choices to make, do you look for God to guide you? Do you want His will to be done or do you want your will to be done? And you know, sometimes we think, well, God's not interested in my everyday choices and walk. Yes, He is. Yeah. See, because that's how He guides and directs our life. Every day, step by step. As you're going through this day, are you sensitive enough? Are you Spirit-led enough that when the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go talk to this person. Are you? Can He get a hold of you? Are you in that spiritual realm where He can direct your path maybe to somebody who's wanting to hear so that when the decision's made, well, where am I going to go for lunch? And the Holy Spirit kind of impresses you to go, well, go over here. And suddenly you find yourself giving somebody a track and talking to somebody or all day long. Just letting Him have His way. What you do, what you say, where you go, His will. The Holy Spirit is interested in you. He's interested in what you're thinking about. He's interested in what you're listening to. He's interested in what you're watching, what you're reading, how you act, how you spend your time. He's interested in everything we do. When we're walking in the Spirit, we're following Him. When we're walking in the flesh, we're following our carnal desires. It's a developed habit. It's a dangerous neglect. A dangerous neglect. Oh my goodness. There's a statement here. I'm going to read it for you. So that you know it's not my being critical or judgmental, but I want you to hear this statement. Most Christians, did you get that? Most Christians ignore and neglect the Spirit and walk in the flesh. I'm not done. This is not to say they do not love God. This is not to say they do not trust His Word or believe in His power. It is to say they don't cultivate the discipline of listening to the Holy Spirit and obeying Him moment by moment. See, God wants to be part of our life all day long. Not just in our devotions in the morning. Hello? See, we don't have our devotions and say, okay, Lord, I'm done with you now. I'll see you tomorrow. No. He wants to be involved in our daily, moment-by-moment life. Jeremiah 2:32. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. How many days have passed since you remembered Him? Since you remembered, I need to walk in the Spirit. See, in every choice we make, we're either going to listen to the Spirit or we're going to listen to our flesh. Somebody said this. We talked about little decisions all day long. Little decisions, when you put them together, make a life. Your life is made up of all the decisions you make every day. That's your life. And so we need to let Him have control in every aspect. D.L. Moody said, a Christian who is not living in the power of the Spirit is living below his privileges. We need to be listening to Him, not neglecting Him. You know, if tomorrow morning you'll get up and say, all right, now I want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit today. I want His prompting, I want His leadership, and I want to obey Him. I'll guarantee you, if you will be sincere in that decision, you'll hear Him. Yeah, you'll notice a difference. And then we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to pray in the Spirit. Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. How do we do that? Well, praying in the Spirit is really a natural outflow of walking in the Spirit. What it means is you're in communication with Him all day long. When Paul says pray without ceasing, he don't mean that we're on our knees 24 hours a day and that's all we do is pray. No. Listen, I pray a lot when I'm driving. I don't close my eyes. But I'm still praying. All day long, we're in communication. I'm listening to Him speaking. I'm looking for Him to guide me and direct me. When I come to decisions, I'm saying, I need some leadership here. I need some help here. I have a need. Lord, show me how to take care of this need. You know, it's interesting how you pray about some things and you're really surprised when God answers. It's such a small thing. Stay in touch. Pray in the Spirit. Somebody likened this. They were talking about how they like to take walks with their wife. And sometimes it's in the mall and sometimes it's in the park or whatever. But they said this. Whenever I'm walking with my wife, sooner or later it ends up in conversation. Huh? How long are you going to walk along together and never say anything? See, that's where it's going to be with the Holy Spirit. If you'll walk with Him and let Him walk with you, sooner or later, you know, there's going to be some conversation there. Pray in the Spirit. Our prayer in the Spirit is a spiritual weapon. And boy, do we need the weapon. One of the greatest spiritual exercises you can do with the help of the Holy Spirit is to pray. It's more than a conversation. It's a building, growing, battling endeavor. It's a vital part of winning the spiritual warfare of the Christian life. That's why Jude in Jude 20 said, "But ye, beloved," saved people, "building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." And Jude, we know, was written to Christians under fire. It's written to challenge Christians to earnestly contend for the faith, he says. Fight the daily spiritual battle of faithfulness. And toward the end of the book comes this command, to build up ourselves in the faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. In Ephesians 6, remember, put on the whole armor of God. How many of you remember that? Okay, at the end of that, what does Paul say when he's talked about all the armor we're supposed to put on? Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Supplication in the Spirit. E.M. Bounds, probably, I think, the greatest authority that I've ever found on the subject of prayer. You want to study prayer and learn about prayer? He has about 7 different volumes on prayer, but they've combined them into one you can get very inexpensively. But boy, when you read them, it's convicting. First time I was exposed to his writing on prayer, I came across a little booklet, E.M. Bounds, something on prayer. And I was actually waiting for my wife, and so I started reading it. Man, I got about 10 pages into that. I thought, I need an invitation. Ooh, this is convicting. But here's something he said. What the church needs today is not more machinery or better machinery, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use. Men of prayer, mighty in prayer. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not appoint plans, but men. Men of prayer. Brother Schindler's coming for our missions conference. I let the cat out of the bag. He was here last year. Loved Brother Schindler. And just a dedicated servant. But we were talking last year about the church, and not our church in general and things of that nature. And he sees a lot now because he travels as an evangelist. But here's what he said. I'm going to capsulize it for you. We need the power of God. That's what's missing in our churches. He said, preachers are going around looking for new methods and new gimmicks and new this and new that and new ministries and all this kind of thing. It worked for somebody over here. Let me give it a try, blah, blah, blah. And he said, I'm not against trying things, but ultimately what we're missing is the power of God. And that's only going to come through serious prayer, praying in the Spirit. It's a continual conversation. not just a weapon, but a continual conversation. We've talked about that. What an awesome thought it is that the Holy Spirit of God, listen, wants to have a conversation with you and with me. Have you ever been around some celebrity that, you know, they just walk around with their nose up in the air and, you know, they walk by you like you're a piece of dirt? Huh? Have you been around anybody that had that kind of an attitude? You know, they're better than you. Don't even try to talk to them. They don't talk to little people. But think about this. The Holy Spirit of Almighty God, God Himself, wants to have a conversation with you. Wants to fellowship with you in conversation. I don't know, that ought to excite you. That ought to make you feel like somebody. Sometimes we hear the wives say, "Well, my husband never talks to me." Better yet, he never listens to me. He hears everything you're saying. He just isn't paying any attention to it. But see, the Holy Spirit wants to pay attention to you. And He will. If you'll get in that conversation, spend time with Him. I'm going to wrap this up in a nice little bow here. Three disciplines. They're basic, but they're very powerful daily disciplines. Number one, be filled with the Spirit. Deliberate choice. I want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. I give myself over. God, please let me be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We read Jesus said, God will not deny that. Number two, walk in the Spirit. That's that moment by moment choice of listening to Him, following His prompting. Some of you have had this experience and just His prompting in different areas. And so many times I've just had Him prompt me to go somewhere or do something. But just think about this. How many of you have been going down the road and you thought about passing somebody or getting in the other lane or something, and the Holy Spirit said, no, stay where you are. And it wasn't seconds later you realized, He just saved my life. An accident or something was in that other lane, or somebody came through a traffic light, or... So you've got to listen to Him. Be filled, walk in the Spirit, pray into the Spirit. That's the spiritual worship or warfare, and He's our partner in it through ongoing prayer. We've talked a lot about the Holy Spirit. We've spent, I don't know, a couple of months, 3 months, 4 months, talking about the Holy Spirit. And I hope you've learned some things. And as I said, this kind of draws it all together because this is where it is. Now we know about Him. Last time we learned about sinning against the Holy Spirit, remember? And His indwelling and He's a personality. And we learned all those facts about the Holy Spirit. But it's going to be for naught if we don't take this to heart and walk. Live, yield to the Holy Spirit. I want you to bow your heads for just a minute. I'm going to ask you this question. Who's controlling your life? Ask yourself that question. Who is controlling my life? Am I in control, or have I yielded my life to the control of God through the power of the Holy Spirit? How many tonight would say, preacher, I want my life to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, and I am making a commitment that I am daily going to ask the Lord, help me today to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, to allow Him to lead in my life, to allow Him to control my life like He wants to. That's going to be my daily prayer. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Hold it up high. I'm serious, preacher. I really, really, really want that. Need that. And I'm going to pray for that. All right, you can put it down. Father, thank You that we can come to You and seek the filling of the Holy Spirit, to walk in His power and His leadership and His direction. And we know that that is the greatest life we could live as believers. It's the life that we're going to bring us victory. It's the life that will help us to overcome our flesh and overcome sin and really to stand firm and fast against the evil one and his forces. Your power in our life rests in the power of the Holy Spirit. Help each one who raised their hand tonight to live that decision that every day and through their day, they're going to seek the leadership, the control of the Holy Spirit of God, that they not live according to their own flesh. And all we know, that's a glorious life to live. It's a wonderful life to live. It's not without its problems and difficulties, but Lord, the power rests upon us, the peace rests upon us. Help us to live this way in Jesus' name. Amen.